information about how you communicate, including who you communicate with, where you communicate, and how long you communicate with that person. And obviously that information can reveal all of those things and a whole lot more, you know, location, who you interact with regularly, who you don't interact with regularly. Mm-hmm. And it's piecing together that information in a way that reveals who you associate with is exactly what the NSA is trying to do. And that's also exactly the type of information that we are entitled to remain private, both under our First Amendment right to associate with whoever we want, and also under our Fourth Amendment right, which is generally said to protect us from unreasonable search and seizure, which really means to ensure that we have a sphere of privacy around where we go and what we do and who we interact with. And, you know, the Fourth Amendment requires that the government is only able to access that sphere of privacy in limited circumstances. Most specifically, they have to have a search warrant or otherwise exigent circumstances. But blanket collection of data to later sift through it is exactly the type of thing the Fourth Amendment is designed to prohibit.
I think we can get a little bit bogged down in the weeds of the...
Daddy's friend Henry.
No,
get off the sidelines and support a proud people in a region where religious freedom, women's rights, and democracy itself hang in the balance. I'm talking, of course, about North Carolina. Now, every year here at Real Time, we do our stupidest state contest, and the competition is always fierce, especially from perennials like Texas, Florida, and Kansas. But North Carolina right now is going apeshit in a way no state ever has.
I've got you now, Susie. Come on, I'm only playing. Don't struggle. I'm bigger and stronger than you.
Take every crazy, angry idea your drunk right-wing uncle mumbles at Thanksgiving, turn it into a law, and that's North Carolina today. We're talking about a state in the American South, mind you, passing a strict ban against the adoption of Sharia law. Yeah, because the Muslim Brotherhood was just about to take over Greenville. North Carolina now allows concealed guns in both bars, what I call the what-could-go-wrong law, and playgrounds. Which is great, because now if your toddler gets knocked down in a sandbox, he can stand his ground. And abortion? Oh, my God. Let's just say in North Carolina, if you say, I'm getting rid of my baby, you better mean you're selling your truck. People want to know, how did this happen? How did a state where Democrats well outnumber Republicans, a state that was trending blue, where Obama won in 2008, go completely insane? It looked like the knuckle-draggers had been defeated and were dying off and being replaced by the kind of educated young urban professionals that John Edwards hits on at TGI Fridays.
Oh, shit.
What happened in North Carolina? Well, his name is Art Polk. That's what happened. And he's kind of the Koch brother from another mother. He's super rich, super anti-union, anti-tax, anti-big government, thinks government should have absolutely no role in helping the less fortunate, who should earn their money the same way he did, by inheriting it from their dad. You know, until recently, rich assholes like this would just use their money to buy a Ferrari and splurge on hookers and then kill them. And that's the America I like to remember. But in 2010, the Supreme Court issued their infamous Citizens United ruling, which raised the amount people could give to political campaigns from a few thousand to infinity. It's why I was able to give Obama's PAC $1 million. It's why Sheldon Adelson was able to spend $150 million against Obama. And it's what has allowed a guy like Art Pope on the local level to hijack an entire state and impose the laws he wants. Crazy laws that 4/5 of the people there don't want. But it doesn't matter what the people want. It's what Art Pope wants. In the post-Citizens United world, it's no longer our ideas versus their ideas, or even our base versus their base. It's our super rich versus their super rich. And theirs are winning, which means ours have got to get in the game. But who? Who? Who on our team? Who on our team has that kind of money? Who might want to buy a state? I don't know, but if there's anyone out there who's done it all and is looking for some new thing to brag about, own a state, it's my fate, it's great. I'm just saying the rhymes practically write themselves. Daft Punk got lucky, I just bought Kentucky. So come on, rich liberals, pony up. Steven Spielberg, you should be taking over Wyoming right now. For a mere $150 million, you could kick out Dick Cheney and his evil daughter, make it a liberal utopia, and put E.T. on the state flag. Tyler Perry, you could buy Montana and make yourself both senators and Medea the governor. And how great will it be on the day when people can get gay married in Oklahoma?
Nowadays, the fact is what has been translated into words of images. Those qualities, these forms to combine facts have dragged me upon the opinion public places with.
Hey there, this is the Furious George Show. Tuning in here at 103.5 WCOM LP Chapel Hill Carborough, Borough, Borough. Radio. I'm furious. I do this every Thursday. And you can tell what's got me furious here in North Carolina, along with other folks who have been protesting here every Monday. And apparently 10,000 folks showed up in Asheville this week, and more big protests planned. Stick around. You can also learn more about the Furious G Show. Go to www.furiousg.blogspot.com. There's some old shows in there. There's some old Flying Lotus in the background, and we're going to throw in some crazy new El Pro because he's coming tomorrow, and I got some tickets. So we're going to crank some of that. Plus, Cool AD from Das Racist is coming tomorrow too, right next door around the corner. So we're going to spotlight some of that. Stick around. The show may include some offensive stuff, so just be forewarned. You may now turn off your radio. For everyone else, check it out or go to www.wcomfm.org. I'll be back. Thanks for listening. I'm furious.
And talk straight turkey. Word is out.
I'm not too old.
Barriers.
Because America is in a state of panic. I hope you're wearing a clean diaper. Because the United States government, in cooperation with cable news, has once again taken us to Code Brown. Jim?
High alert is an attack imminent.
Americans have been put on notice. They may not be safe this month.
A global travel alert is now in effect for all Americans around the world. That's after sources say there's growing intelligence that Al-Qaeda is planning an attack. As a precaution, the U.S. is closing 22 embassies and consulates.
U.S. officials say an attack could happen anywhere in the world at any time. It could happen literally at any moment.
Yes, an attack is imminent. Any moment, anywhere, anytime. Look to your left. Look to your right. Both of those people could be terrorists. And what about that guy in the middle? He keeps looking around so much. What's he planning? Folks, this warning is exactly why we invested hundreds of billions of dollars in our intelligence gathering, surrendered our privacy, and let the NSA turn the Constitution into a choose-your-own-adventure. So we can get concrete, actionable intelligence like this.
Al-Qaeda appears to be planning something big, although we don't know the exact target or the exact method.
We still don't know the time, the date, or target of any attack.
What they don't know is the exact date, the exact location that that's going to occur, or the nature of it. Are they going to attack embassies? Are they going to attack hotels? We just don't know.
Thank you, NSA. Now we know Americans just need to avoid this area. We'll be right back.
At first, many people knew of a Special Operations Division at the U.S.'s Drug Enforcement. He was convicted of trying to sell arms to FARC guerrillas in Colombia. The unit combines the National Security Agency, the FBI, and CIA, and is designed to connect the dots to dismantle the operations of drug cartels and map connections to those the U.S. considers to be terrorists. However, it's been revealed it could be subverting the right to a fair trial in American courts. The Department of Justice review follows the disclosure that information procured by the Special Operations Division is ending up in criminal cases here in the United States without the knowledge of the courts.
Rise and shine, America! It's time to wash away those dated old terror alert colors and replace them with Fear Fresh. Keep your fear fresh and your embassies closed. There's a little something for everyone in Fear Fresh. Need to spruce up that dirty old NSA spying? Use a little Fear Fresh and spying never looked so good. With Fear Fresh's specially formulated maximum strength fear mongering, you'll be confident again and back in the spotlight without having to worry about those pesky gray facts. Fear Fresh lets you display the vibrant colors of your imagination, so let that fear shine.
Could be suicide vests or automobile bombs or exploding gerbils or roller coasters on fire or apple pie improvised explosives. There's just no telling.
And when your fashions change, Fear Fresh changes with you. From happy and safer to moody and dangerous. Who says you can't have it both ways? Fear Fresh even brings back those dingy old sweater vests and puts a fresh face on yesterday's fear. And don't forget, I'm Anna Nosser, love Fear Fresh. How else could two crackpots shut down 21 embassies of the world's most powerful nation just by talking to each other? Remember, Fear Fresh makes it clear we must spy on everyone. Terror attacks are on the rise since we've been spying on everyone. Fear Fresh. Isn't it time you kept your fear fresh?
Boom.
Could give the DEA the contents of a wiretapped phone call, which then leads to an arrest. But the court would be told that the arrest originated traffic stop. Legal experts point out that as a result, the original evidence against the defendant is not being presented in court. The NSA insists it's not breaking any laws in passing information that was supposed to have only been gathered on potential foreign threats for domestic law enforcement.
Thank you.
wiretapped phone call, which then leads to an arrest. But the court would be told that the arrest originated from regular police work, such as a traffic stop. Legal experts point out that as a result, the original evidence against the defendant is not being presented in court. The NSA insists it's not breaking any laws in passing information that was supposed to have only been gathered on potential foreign threats for domestic law enforcement, saying, quote, "This coordination frequently includes sanitizing classified information so that it can be passed to personnel at lower clearance levels in order to meet their operational requirements." But following Edward Snowden's leaks on the scope of the US's surveillance program, there are now questions about how the huge volume of information being stored at complexes like this one in Utah is being used.
This is yet one more story, and the government's response of just trust us isn't going to fly anymore. They need to not only demonstrate that they have very strong internal checks, but they need to say what law they think they're following, because there probably will be people in the country who say, listen, that's not the law that we think applies to Americans.
Administration insists that checks and balances are in place to prevent any abuse of its surveillance programs, but that isn't stopping growing concerns about how deep the monitoring is and how many people it affects. Shihab Rutansi, Al Jazeera.
In a way no state ever has. Take every crazy, angry idea your drunk right-wing uncle mumbles at Thanksgiving. Turn it into a law, and that's North Carolina today. We're talking about a state in the American South, mind you, passing a strict ban against the adoption of Sharia law. Yeah, because the Muslim Brotherhood was just about to take over Greenville. North Carolina now allows concealed guns in both bars, what I call the what could go wrong law, and playgrounds, which is great because now if your toddler gets knocked down in a sandbox, he can stand his ground. And abortion? Oh my God. Let's just say in North Carolina, if you say, I'm getting rid of my baby, you better mean you're selling your truck.
Yo, shut up, Tarly. You ain't never stole shit, so shut up.
disparate elements are imaginatively posed, put in apposition in new and unique ways, startling discoveries often result.
Obama won in 2008, go completely insane. It looked like the knuckle-draggers had been defeated and were dying off and being replaced by the kind of educated young urban professionals that John Edwards hits on at TGI Fridays.
Involves men with one another. Information pours information instantaneously and information as soon as information is acquired. Our electrically configured world has forced us to move from the habit of data classification to the mode of pattern recognition. We can no longer build serial block by block. Because instant communication ensures that all factors
there ain't no grammatical errors in a non-literate society.
All media work us over completely. They are so pervasive in their and social consequences that they leave no part of us untouched, unaffected, unaltered. The medium is the massage. Any understanding of social and cultural change is impossible without a knowledge of the way media work as environments.
What happened in North Carolina? Well, his name is Art Pope. That's what happened. And he's kind of the Pope brother from another mother. He's super rich, super anti-union, anti-tax, anti-big government, thinks government should have absolutely no role in helping the less fortunate, who should earn their money the same way he did, by inheriting it from their dad. You know, until recently, rich assholes like this would just use their money to buy a Ferrari and splurge on hookers and then kill them. And that's the America I like to remember. But in 2010, the Supreme Court issued their infamous Citizens United ruling, which raised the amount people could give to political campaigns from a few thousand to infinity.
Not even sure how panicked I'm supposed to be.
Thank you.
Gillespie Shambliss, the top Republican on the Senate Intelligence Committee, to get Glenn Greenwald's response. During an appearance on NBC's Meet the Press, he said the NSA surveillance programs had uncovered information about the threats that prompted the U.S. to close 19 embassies.
We understand that they're very sensitive, but they're also very important because they are what lead us to have the, or allow us to have the ability to gather this chatter that I referred to. If we did not have these programs, then we simply wouldn't be able to listen in on the bad guys. And I will say that it's the 702 program that has allowed us to pick up on this chatter. That's the program that allows us to listen overseas, not on domestic soil, but overseas.
That was Senator Shambliss. Glenn Greenwald, your response.
You know, it's so ludicrous. For 8 straight years, literally, Democrats, every time there was a terrorist alert or a terrorist advisory issued by the United States government in the middle of a debate over one of the Bush-Cheney civil liberties abuses, would accuse the United States government and the national security state of exaggerating terrorism threats, of manipulating advisories, of hyping the dangers of Al-Qaeda in order to distract attention away from their abuses and to scare the population into submitting to whatever it is they wanted to do. And so here we are in the midst of, you know, one of the most intense debates and sustained debates that we've had in a very long time in this country over the dangers of excess surveillance. And suddenly, an administration that has spent 2 years claiming that it has decimated Al-Qaeda decides that there is this massive threat that involves the closing of embassies and consulates throughout the world. And within literally a matter of hours, the likes of Saxbee Chambliss and Lindsey Graham join with the White House and Democrats in Congress, who remember are the leading defenders of the NSA at this point, to exploit that terrorist threat and to insist that it shows that the NSA and these programs are necessary. What that has to do with the ongoing controversy about the NSA is completely mystifying. Nobody has ever questioned or disputed that the U.S. government, like all governments around the world, ought to be eavesdropping and monitoring the conversations of people who pose an actual threat to the United States in terms of plotting terrorist attacks. The controversy is over the fact that they are sweeping up billions and billions of emails and telephone calls every single day from people around the world and in the United States who have absolutely nothing to do with terrorism. And if anything, the only thing that that controversy, the warning, has to do with the current controversy is that the argument that a lot of analysts have made very persuasively is that when you have an agency that collects everything, it actually becomes harder, not easier, to detect actual terrorist plots and to find the actual terrorists. And if this agency really were devoted, if these surveillance programs were really devoted to finding terrorism, they would be much more directed and discriminating, but they're not. They're indiscriminate and limitless, and that's one of the problems.
Going on, that NSA is following the law, and that we have checks and
bounces. We have the courts. We have both the Senate, House, Intelligence Committee. We have Justice Department. We have checks and balances here to make sure that NSA does not fall.
Various House members. So, yeah, they do get meetings with General Alexander where they get to raise their hand and ask questions. And General Alexander says, we're not violating the law, and we are strictly adhering to what our guidelines are. He can say whatever he wants. They want to get the actual documents. That's how you exercise oversight. And they're being denied it about the most basic information about both the NSA and the FISA court.
Let me ask you something. The former Alaska Senator Mike Gravel, who was the one who got the Pentagon Papers put into the Congressional Record and then had them published by Beacon Press, the whole thousands of pages, he said that the senators who have been really sounding the alarms, people like Senator Udall, Senator Wyden, of course, the ones who've been warning Americans in sort of cryptic ways, saying you've got to find out about this, could actually go much further now that so much has been released by you and even the Obama administration.
Right. Well, there's an article in Foreign Policy magazine over the weekend by the Yale Law professor Bruce Ackerman that makes the same point. Remember, United States senators have full constitutional immunity against prosecution for anything that they say on the floor of the Senate. And Daniel Ellsberg, when he was trying to get people to read the Pentagon Papers, actually wanted to get Mike Gravel and other senators to go to the floor of the Senate and read the Pentagon Papers because they would have been immune from prosecution. You know, as much as I like the fact that Ron Wyden and Mark Udall have been sounding the alarms for a couple of years, winking and hinting at Americans that they would be shocked to learn all the things that the Obama administration is doing in secret, they didn't have the courage to tell us what those things were that they thought we should know. It took Mr. Snowden to come forward, who doesn't have immunity, and tell us. And interestingly, the very first interview I ever did on ABC about this case, I was followed by Senator Udall, and they asked Senator Udall about Edward Snowden, and the first thing he said was, I deplore his leak. So, you know, Mark Udall didn't have the courage to do what Edward Snowden did. He tried to get the country to know there was something going on that we should know, but didn't come forward and say, even though we have this protection. But I think Senator Gravel and Bruce Ackerman are absolutely right. There are all sorts of ways that if Ron Wyden and Mark Udall and others really believe, as they're saying, that there are serious abuses going on in the NSA, they could let us know and could do so with total protection, unlike me, who's reporting it and being threatened with imprisonment, or Mr. Snowden, who's been charged for letting us know. They could actually exercise their constitutional prerogatives as a senator and tell us what they think that we ought to know, and they ought to do a lot more of that.
National Security Agency could give the DEA the contents of a wiretap phone call, which then leads to an arrest. But the court would be told that the arrest originated from regular police work, such as a traffic stop. Legal experts point out that as a result, the original evidence against the defendant is not being presented in court.
And secretive corporate-funded American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC for short, is celebrating its 40th anniversary this week in Chicago with planned protests at their annual meeting. Joining us from Madison, Wisconsin is Brendan Fisher. Brendan is the general counsel with the Center for Media and Democracy, who are the publishers of ALECExposed.org and PRWatch.org. He has worked extensively on the ALEC Exposed Project, documenting a broad array of ALEC agenda items ranging from voter suppression to education privatization to more recently ALEC bills to advance a big oil, big ag agenda. Thanks for joining us, Brendan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So lobbying in Washington and even on a state level is pretty much the norm. What makes ALEC so different? Can you give us a bit of a history of who ALEC really is?
Sure. Well, the history first. They were founded in the early 70s during the same era that a whole array of right-wing institutions were being established and set up. One of its key founders was Paul Weyrich, who founded the Heritage Foundation that same year, went on to found the Moral Majority. And they've been enormously successful over the past 40 years in advancing special interest legislation through the states and serving as a conduit for the corporate agenda. And their issue areas range from privatization of schools to privatization of prisons to laws that make it harder to vote, to laws that promote a race to the bottom and wages and working standards, and also push a anti-environmental agenda. But with respect to how is this different from traditional lobbying, with traditional lobbying, you at least have some level of transparency. If a lobbyist is going to meet with the legislator in a state, they'll maybe get their ear for 15 minutes. With ALEC, legislators fly to ALEC meetings, usually on the corporate dime. Meetings are held in places like Amelia Island, Florida, or New Orleans, or this year in Chicago, usually at the nicest hotel in town. The corporate members that benefit from ALEC model legislation are footing the bill for legislators' travel expenses. While at these meetings, lobbyists get legislators' ear for 3 days of meetings and workshops and other events where legislators are sold on these corporate-friendly ideas and urged to pass these bills that are going to benefit the corporations that are footing the bill for the travel, for the meetings, for the nights out. By the time legislators get back to the state, they're the ones who are already convinced that a particular bill or policy idea is right for the state. By the time that the public has a chance to weigh in, the legislator is oftentimes already convinced. Legislators are the ones who are becoming the lobbyists for the corporate special interest agenda advanced by ALEC.
Folks, without any details, I'm not even sure how panicked I'm supposed to be. At least during the Bush years, I could look at this helpful chart and know that my sphincter tightness was orange. But even that's gone now because Obama gave all those colors to the gays for their rainbow. Announced the closed U.S. embassies will remain shut through Saturday due to an abundance of caution.
it's important to remain abundantly cautious until Saturday. After that, the terrorists would have to rebook their flights, and that's a $100 change fee, plus they'd have to take off work again, reschedule the babysitter. It's a nightmare.
Okay, everybody, thanks for listening to the Micropowered Furious George Experience. This is some stuff there in the background from Bass Nectar's newly released this week remix of some Nina and some other crazy stuff. Also, like I mentioned earlier, we are going to be hosting next door in a couple hours, big old hip-hop show. One of the guys there in the band is this cool band called Das Racist. Played them a whole lot on the Furious show when it first started out, and they're here coming around. One of the particular artists, Cool AD, will be here, and this song coming up next is off of his newest mixtape. If you want to hear more about the Furious G show, go to furiousg.blogspot.com, or even better, just do what you're doing right now. Bob your head, like, you know, grab your lighter, crack open a beer, and have a good time. Shake out the evilness from the NSA or the DEA or the whole BS relating to the NC General Assembly. So, thanks for listening to Micro Power Radio. I'm furious.
Middle America, a studio gangster.
Somebody that's not real, they go in the studio and all of a sudden become hard when they used to do dance music.
Okay.
I'll tell you about it a little bit.
Okay.
Don't believe nothing.